we looked at the program about 3 years ago, maybe 3.5 years ago, and that's when we purchased our first cameras. So all of our patrol officers out on patrol at this time all have cameras on them when they go out.
And technology moves very fast, and I think now more than ever, more people have access to smartphones, and things are being recorded all the time. How does your department educate officers on just the amount of technology out there and that they're always being recorded?
Well, it is obviously difficult to keep up with, and I think it's important for the leaders of each of the departments to make sure they keep up with technology. But, you know, with our officers, when we first introduced it, it was a voluntary basis. The cameras were available for them. We highly encouraged them to wear it. We had a lot of the supervision wear it, hoping that would, you know, go down. We had about a 50% participation rate. But even so, the 50% weren't actually turning them on the whole time they were out. And we did that. It was our idea to do it that way to try and get buy-in so that the guys and the girls on the shifts, the deputies, could see that in most cases the cameras help them. And probably more than 90% of the cases, the cameras help them. And not only from an evidentiary value, but from personnel complaints. We've just recently, probably about 4 or 5 months ago, switched over to a mandatory wear policy so that everybody that's on patrol has to wear a camera now. And the reason we did that is because there were some significant events that happened that weren't recorded. For example, back in April, we had an officer-involved shooting where both the officer was shot and the suspect was shot. And you know, none of that was recorded because that officer chose not to take a camera out that day. And it certainly would have helped him. Not that he did anything wrong or anything came of it, but it certainly would have helped us in our investigation had we had that camera.
One of the questions and one of the issues that I've heard from other law enforcement officers and county officials is the costs, not just for the equipment, but for the data and storing of the video. What is Niagara County's policy when it comes to keeping that video and making sure that it's available for FOIL requests and for people who want to see it? And is that, can that be a challenge?
It certainly is a challenge. It's mostly a challenge because, for example, with FOILs, that hasn't been settled yet in New York State, whether a video is any random video is FOILable. That's still being argued at this point. But what we do is we use a system. I happen to use the vendor Taser. And I tried a lot of cameras. I like Taser the best, and those cameras were tried by my deputies as well. And that was the vendor that we selected. Our storage is done in the cloud through a company called, a subsidiary of Taser called Evidence.com. And really, to kind of explain how it works, the deputy takes a camera out. At the end of his shift, he returns that camera to a charging portal, and then there's a wireless download into the cloud, which is at Evidence.com. Of anything that he filmed that day. And then that camera remains there for 8 hours. It doesn't take 8 hours to download it, but it remains for 8 hours till the following shift comes in, and then they take those cameras out. So I only have to equip 2/3 of my deputies, and they take the camera out, and then for one shift, then the next shift it sits in the portal, and then in the third shift it goes back out again, and that alternates all the way through.
Do you think that police body cameras will become more common? And do you think that it's inevitable that that all police departments will have body cameras?
I think it is inevitable. We use it as evidence against defendants, particularly DWIs, those types of things. And, you know, in this day and age, juries demand more and more video and more technology when they evaluate a case, just simply because of what they see on TV. So to me, I look at it as an investment. It's something I budget for. Sometimes I've used some drug asset forfeiture money to purchase cameras and video equipment. But I think it's something that's very necessary for our department, and it's a worthwhile investment.
Do you think that video cameras can help build trust with people out and about that officers encounter?
I think it does. I'll be honest with you, a lot of people don't realize that we have them on, and we've had, you know, numerous personnel complaints where people say that the deputy did this, this, and that, and then we inform them that it was videotaped, and we'd be happy to review it with them, and most of those people walk away. I just had a case a couple days ago where, you know, I was verbally told about something that happened with a deputy, and the person telling me had no idea we had that deputy had video rolling. And the video and contradicted what this person was telling me. So it's very helpful. I think the public has to, once they know they're being filmed, they may act differently. And, you know, law enforcement officers act differently when they know the camera's rolling as well. So I think it's good to keep everybody in line and keep everybody in check.
Anything else that you'd like to add about the future for the technology or for your department?
Well, I think what's important is the DCJS in New York State has formed a committee, and this committee is made up of law enforcement leaders, high-ranking people, your regular street cops, district attorneys, public defenders, and we've sat down to try and create a model policy for all of New York State. And that committee met for the first time about 2 weeks ago and met for several hours and had some really good discussions and some really good ideas. So I think New York State is embracing it as well, and especially, you know, our state government here, to come up with a model policy so that we do these things right. And all that includes, you know, the FOIL. I talked about the FOIL before, where it's really not answered yet. There's, on some sides, there's some groups that say everything that we film is FOILable, and there's other sides that say, no, it's not, because of expectations of privacy and so forth. So that needs to be settled, and I think that's probably the big hurdle that we got to get over. But I think coming up with a model policy statewide is going to be very beneficial. And we began to work on that, and I look forward to the work that committee does.